you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you, as always, by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more by going to their special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/Sox. Chuck Harfine here with Ryan McGuffey, and we've got two podcasts this week. Tuesday, Don Cooper came on, and he went in-depth on 14 White Sox pitchers. Kopech, Hanson, Rodon, Lopez, Giolito, Nate Jones. Told us what minor league pitcher is going to make big strides in 2018. If Joaquin Soria is going to be the closer. Hey, Guffey said there's a lot of fake news out there, but he wanted to give us the real news.
Hey, look, there's no one that's more real than Don Cooper. And when you can hone him in the way he does in this podcast, it's a must listen. I'm halfway through it because there's so much information there,
yeah.
Like in a different Don Cooper way, if you know what I mean. Like, you have to listen to it to kind of understand what I'm saying. But it's not just like Don Cooper from the – this was a prepared Don Cooper. He knew the names you were given.
Yeah, he wanted to know who I was going to ask him about because he wanted to really think about it.
Yeah.
So I gave him the names. And I mean, there were some names I brought up that he wasn't prepared for, but most of them he was all ready to go.
He's always prepared.
Yeah.
But he wasn't talking in circles. He was really honed in on the guys that you were asking.
All right, so that was a podcast about the White Sox pitchers. Today, it's about the White Sox hitters. The Sox are holding their hitting camp at their spring training facility in Glendale, Arizona. It's a who's who of White Sox prospects. Jimenez, Robert, we believe.
I'm saying Robert,
okay.
Absolutely.
Moncada. So we wanted to bring on somebody who took part, or is taking part, in the hitters camp, and that is Nicky Delmonico. And I learned a lot of stuff. You know, I wanted to go deep with him on Jimenez and Robert, but the conversation went in some areas I wasn't expecting, and I'm kind of glad that we went in those directions. What do you think?
I totally agree. Yeah. I actually felt like there was a need to go there after a little while in the conversation. I just think he, because of the experience, the life experience that he's had,
yeah.
I think he's able to think things through a little bit more and project them differently than maybe some, I don't want to say an average 24, 25-year-old, but he hasn't had average experiences, and he put him out there last year, as we all know, talking about some of the stuff he went through when he came up, and I think it helped him, and he admits it.
Yeah.
And I think that because the fan base rallied behind him, you guys listening to this podcast are a big reason why Nicky Delmonico's success was such a great story last year.
So you're going to hear some good stuff about Luis Robert, the hot yoga that Delmonico is doing with Berger. We go in depth on the hot yoga.
I'm sweating actually after talking about it, and we're in a cold studio.
And the one guy who he thinks is going to have a big year in 2018, it's going to surprise you. It's going to surprise you.
I'll be honest with you. If that guy does what he says he might do,
ooh, game changer.
He will be a game changer for certainly
the next year or two.
Let's just see it happen in 2018. Let's just start baby steps.
Okay. And as an added bonus, Sox Fest is next weekend, and later in the podcast, we're going to be giving away two free passes for all 3 days, and we're going to ask Nicky to give us a trivia question about himself, and if you get it right and tweet the answer with the hashtag #AuthenticFan, you're going to qualify for free passes. So we're giving away two free passes.
There is a monetary value on those, but it's kind of priceless at the same time because of all the guys you get to meet. But I love Nicky. We talked about Nicky before we started the interview about this trivia question, and he wanted to one-up it.
Yes.
I mean, that's how, like, these guys are, they're awesome. I mean, they are one-upping even the things that you think they can't be one-up. Yeah. Like, hey, just, you know, let's keep it simple. He's like, why keep it simple?
Yeah. Well, if you're driving and listening to this podcast, control the wheel, because Nicky's going to say some things that are going to get you really excited about the White Sox future. And one more thing. Next week, leading up to Sox Fest, Sierra Santos has this great three-part feature on Yolmer Sanchez. She went out to Arizona, spent some time with Yolmer and his family. It's called Don't Call Me Carlos. Yes, Don't Call Me Carlos. Really good stuff. Look for that starting on Monday. But right now, our conversation with Nikki Delmonico. Let's do it. All right, on the phone, it is Nikki Delmonico from Glendale, Arizona, where the White Sox have completed their hitting camp. Tell us about what you've been seeing and experiencing in this three-day camp, Nikki.
Well, to be around everybody, one is, you know, to me is the best thing. Seeing everybody again, coming back. Well, for me, I've been here the whole offseason, but seeing everybody again and, you know, just going out hitting and seeing a lot of familiar faces and a lot of new faces. But already I feel like, you know, the character in the clubhouse, it's awesome. Just being around everybody, everybody meshes together, and it's been an awesome 3 days.
I know you're active on social media, and you have a good idea of what the buzz is like here in Chicago in terms of the younger guys and the direction that the White Sox are going right now and the buzz of the prospects and stuff like that. But everything that we've read the last couple of days seems like you guys have kind of fed off of that energy and fed off of that buzz with just being in the cage and being around each other. Is that an accurate statement?
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. I think there's a lot of, you know, good things coming out of here and, you know, a lot of positive energy from, you know, a lot of the young guys, too.
All right, so take us into the hitting camp. Who was in your hitting group? Who did you hit with?
So in my hitting group, we got Adam Engel, Kevin Smith, Matt Davidson, Omar Navarez, and I think am I missing one? I think that's all my first hitting group, yeah.
So it was mostly you were with the major league guys, and then the prospects were on another field?
Well, we have two fields, and we got three groups going on each field. So, I mean, we got a you know, probably, you know, over 30, 40 people here, I feel like.
Wow. Okay, so when you weren't hitting, you're in the field, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And you were playing what positions?
Are you talking about for the hitting camp?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, right now I feel like I need more work in the outfield, so I'm getting, you know, more and more fly balls, getting more reps out there and trying to get comfortable. And for me, I feel really comfortable in the infield, so right now I feel like it's really key for me to get a lot of reads in the outfield.
All right, we've been hearing all sorts of buzz about young prospects who have come up, and you had a first row seat to some of this. So we want to kind of go over some of these young prospects. The first one is Luis Robert, because most people haven't seen him in person. So you got your eyes on him. What did you see from the Cuban sensation? We'll call him that right now.
I think he's very talented. There's no doubt about it. You know, can drive the ball to all parts of the field, and he's got a, you know, great makeup about him. And you know, I'm very excited to see coming into the spring what he's going to be able to do and see him play in person. But he's definitely going to be something to get excited about for White Sox fans.
Have you figured out how to say his name yet? Because we've heard Robert, and Robert, and people are still confused here in Chicago.
I think I'm still trying to figure it out as well. You hear so many things where you kind of question yourself, and am I saying the right thing? So I think by the end of this week, I think I should be able to have it down.
Okay, so is the camp still going on? So I thought it was only a three-day camp. Maybe
no, it is actually all the way to Saturday, so we're not even, yeah.
For some reason, I thought it was 3 days.
Through. Yeah.
All right, and then you've seen Eloy Jimenez.
Mm-hmm.
Give us your thoughts on Jimenez.
Well, I haven't really seen him. He's not on our field, but in the cage, and, you know, same thing. It's, you know, great makeup, you know, obviously great swing, everything. But for here, I'm just excited to get into spring and see, you know, and see games. I think we have a lot of good prospects here, and it's going to be exciting to watch.
You said you've worked out at the facility all winter, and you were there with a young man that we saw pop up. You guys were at hockey games, and you've been on each other's Instagram accounts and razzing each other with Jake Berger. Talk about that relationship and living it and working out, because, you know, a lot of guys get away from the complex and the facility during the winter. Why was it important for you to stay there?
For me, I did it last year, and I thought it was really good for me to come here. And there's, you know, we had Matt Davidson here last year, and we had a couple guys that came, and, you know, we put ourselves on a pretty strict workout program with the White Sox, and we got on a hitting program, ground balls, outfield work, And, you know, I felt like for me it was awesome, and I felt like when I came to spring training, I was not, I didn't want to say steps ahead, but I felt like, you know, I was ready, and I did everything I could to go out and be successful. And to see Jake come out and, you know, first-year guy coming into spring training, you don't see that in a lot of first-rounders. I think that shows huge character on his end. And but he's an awesome guy on and off the field, but, and, you know, worked his rear end off this offseason. And, you know, I was very very happy to see him come out and work out with him every day. And we even got in a little bit of hot yoga, which was interesting at first. But, no, it was awesome. I think Jake is going to be a great fit, you know, in this clubhouse.
Well, I want to ask you about Jake Berger in the clubhouse, but we got to follow up with the hot yoga.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your idea or Jake's?
I think it was kind of both of ours. I brought it up, and then he found it on Groupon.
And on we Groupon. Found a so at least you got deal. A deal.
Yeah, we got a great deal. We got, I think it was like 30 classes for like $20.
Wow.
What? Come on. 30
exactly.
classes for $20.
Yeah,
we split
and
those.
We thought it was a deal. And then I don't know if the Groupon messed up or something, but we got a steal. And I mean, sure enough, it's no joke, man. You don't mess around in hot yoga. It killed us.
How many times have you done it?
I want to say like 10 times.
Oof. Okay, yeah. So you're sweating bullets
from the second
within like
in.
What 5 minutes?
5 minutes. 5 seconds.
Way before.
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as you start like walk in the room, and the worst thing about it, me and Jake were in the front of the class in the hottest part of the room, and we're standing there doing it, and then you got. We're in a room full of, I guess, advanced people, and everybody behind us is not even, you know, dropping a sweat. And me and Berger are dying the first 20 minutes on the ground, passing out, chugging our waters. But it's no joke, man.
Yeah, I have done this before. I almost passed out and threw up the first time I did it.
Same. I didn't want to go back.
How long was your class?
And this is the worst part. Well, it was an hour. They locked the doors, and they told us this. Because they didn't want anyone to disturb the class.
How long was your class, Nikki?
Hour 20.
Whoa! Ooh.
Yeah, it was tough.
Wow!
Yeah, but we didn't have the locked doors, though.
Yeah, I got claustrophobic. By the way, I don't want to have this become too much of a yoga conversation. They do have yoga classes that are not hot yoga. Like, they're like, it's heated. But this is a whole different ball game. You keep going back. I'm impressed. You feel like it's helping you?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I think flexibility is the biggest thing, and you know, when you're in the off season and you start to get the heavy lifting, I think it's, you know, really big to take that time to, you know, go to something like that and sweat everything out and stretch and, you know, get more range of motion. I think it's helped me and him so much this off season.
Your story is one that, you know, obviously you've put it out there and people have embraced. And when you came up last year in Chicago, I think there was such a I can't think of a time in the past of a player that came up that's had a different journey to get there that fans have related to so well than you. And obviously part of that was having just instant success, but I think the fan base just really was charismatic towards you from the time you came up to the time the season ran out. You had a great that 13 straight games on base streak, that's a White Sox record. Did you have a chance to take a step back and have a moment to realize, you know, yeah, I did what I sought out to do many years ago, and then have success and to take it into the off season to kind of build off of that?
Yeah, you know, to have my family there through a lot of the games when I was called up was huge. To kind of, you know, be there for me, everything I went through, and to have that. And two, I think the fans were the biggest thing. They were awesome. So, I mean, welcomed me with open arms and very supportive. And, you know, I got a love from everybody on social media, which was awesome. You know, a lot of great comments, great things saying. And, you know, I don't think that people realize how awesome that is to have when you, you know, you achieved your dream, that it feels like you didn't just achieve it, you know, just yourself. You feel like so many people were with you in the journey. But to be able to have that, to go in the off season, and to have that taste of being in the big leagues and, you know, down the future, it was definitely makes you work harder every day you come in. And, you know, it's just a special moment.
What was the highlight for you? If you had to name one, would it have been the moment you got called up to the majors for the first time? Or was it something like you being in the majors and hitting like a walk-off home run like you did against the Twins? What was number one for you?
Well, I think for me, I have two things. In Boston, I think it was me and my brother, the last time we were in Boston was, gosh, I can't even tell you, so long ago. And it was me and my brother and my dad, and we watched the Red Sox play the White Sox. So to be on my first road game in Boston and to have my first home run, won't say off who for certain reasons.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But I think that was awesome to have my brother there watching me to hit my first home run there, and to see him after the game and be able to hand him my my first home run ball, and to see him cry because of all the things that I've done. I mean, that was probably, for me, the most touching moment and my best moment in the big leagues. Besides, and obviously, the walk-off home run against the Angels, the one you know dream of as a kid, I think that's, you know, those two things to me are tough to beat. It's something you grow up dreaming about.
I remember last year talking to you in Charlotte and just seeing you those few days I was there. And I mentioned to you, I was like, man, your smile is contagious. I think it just rubs off. I watched the way the guys in Charlotte, you just had this infectious personality with them. And you talked about the one thing you were most proud of is being kind of the person you wanted to be. And now where the White Sox are in this rebuild and seeing just really kind of on the cusp and how close this is, and with your personality kind of meshing with a lot of personalities, quite frankly, that I think match yours, does that make a sense of belonging? I mean, I'm sure now with success that you had last year that you feel like this is where you're supposed to be now.
Yeah, I really do. I haven't felt this comfortable in a locker room in I don't know how long. I think it has to do with up top, with everything, what's going on in our front office from all the way down to the clubhouse. I think everybody's on the same page. I mean, it's really fun to come and, you know, to play for the White Sox every day. And it's very hard to do to get all, you know, the people on board. And I feel like there's a lot of, you know, we have a lot of great guys from the top to the bottom. And, you know, everybody's on board on what we have to do and what do we want to do. But, you know, the biggest thing is that we're here to have fun and play hard. And I think everybody's bought into those two things. And if you do those two things, you play hard and have fun, you can do a lot of damage out on the field.
I want to get back to the hitter's camp really quick. I know it is only a hitter's camp. It's not, you know, a game, a real game. But did anyone stand out to you that you saw that said, boy, look at him. Look what he's doing. I'm surprised by this.
As in player-wise?
Yeah, player-wise. Oh, unless there's a coach. Look at him coaching.
I mean, there was, you know, Sis is throwing great BP. I mean, he blew me away. But, Engel, he's worked hard in the offseason to change his hitting mechanics. And I'm telling you, he's going to be pretty fun to watch. I mean, obviously, him out in center field, he's on top 10, I feel like, every other night. But, the way he's worked so hard this offseason, you can see it just in BPs. You know, he's formed this athletic leg kick, and he's got such lightning quick hands, and he's the guy that, you know, I think White Sox fans should be very excited about to watch. Obviously, you got Matt Davidson, who's, you know, the same guy. He's got so much power, but I think Engel is going to be, you know, he's going to have a pretty big year this year in my book.
All right, up next, we're giving away Sox Fest tickets, and we're going to ask Nikki about the bet he made with Tim Anderson and lost. You're listening to the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust. Back in a moment. Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Sox, members FDIC.
Hi, guys.
I'm Tara Lipinski.
And I'm Johnny Weir.
Guess what, Johnny?
What?
The Winter Olympics are right around the corner. And what does that mean?
Yay. That means we get to see Shaun White, Michaela Schifrin, and other top Team USA athletes conquer fresh snow and ice this February on NBC.
So make sure you're ready. Sign up for NBC Sports and Olympics emails by texting POD to 66866. Or you can visit NBCOlympics.com/newsletters to receive the latest athlete updates, giveaways, and more.
Message and data rates may apply. Winter is here.
So would you think that the hardest thing that you may have to do in 2018 is show up to the ballpark in an Alabama jersey? Do you think that's going to be the toughest thing?
You know, I haven't gotten over that, and I didn't. Thank you for bringing it up. Yes, I think that
I
is
was with
going
you,
to be
man.
The hardest.
Well, I was cheering for Georgia, too. It was tough.
Yeah. Well, Nikki, why don't you explain game. The bet so if people know what we're talking about here.
Okay, so me and Tim before the game, and I was pretty confident that he was going to wear a
Tim
Georgia
Anderson.
Bulldog. Yeah, Tim Anderson. We, you know, talked before the game, and I said, how about a friendly bet? And he said, what do you have in mind? And I said, well, if the Bulldogs win, you're going to have to take a picture and post it on Instagram and also be decked out from head to toe in Georgia Bulldogs gear. And I was like, if somehow Alabama wins, I can do the same. Thinking that I got this in the just, you know, and I made this bet. So sure enough, bet's on. Then we get it all over social media and, you know, sure enough, the game starts and I feel like I have it in the bag and then everybody knows the story. And now I'm going to have to really regret me making this bet.
Yeah. What's Tim been saying to you?
He was pretty hard on me after the game until I told him I cried after we lost, and then he kind of eased up on me.
You didn't really cry, though.
Oh, yeah. No, I shed a few I think I shed
tough.
About two tears, yeah.
Wow.
And, yeah, and I'm not afraid to say it.
Okay.
Because they broke our hearts in 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now
that was
again,
a tough.
Like,
that was as tough of a loss as I
know,
can remember.
But
Georgia has. It's not like they're sitting there with you know, like Alabama sitting there with 5-9. They're sitting there thinking Kirby Smart. You know, this his old assistant. It makes sense to me. I understand the cry. There should be a little emotional. And for people who don't know, you committed to Georgia in 2010 originally, so that's where the Georgia. You have the love there, and you grew up in SEC country, so it's not just some team you hooked your horns to, so
yeah,
to speak.
I apologize. I just didn't maybe understand the depth of your love for the Georgia Bulldogs. Mm-hmm. My apologies.
It's okay. I'm still getting over it.
I think it's on your Twitter. Do you have Georgia Bulldog on your Twitter handle?
I think I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I do. I'm a Bulldog, and I'm proud. And I was proud of the way we played. I think, you know, we had the blocked punt. I mean, we had so many things that I think that the referees, I mean, Saban.
It was bad.
Yes,
it was
and
bad.
And I'm going to go there, and I'm going to go there.
You know that.
No, it was bad.
And I
it
think
was...
Saban has, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think everybody's for Saban.
Yeah. I think what you're not saying, you're kind of saying, and we all agree.
Yeah.
Well, I get it. A couple more things. What are you doing the rest of the day?
Well, I was supposed to meet up with Kevin Smith and Carlos Rodon at this new barbecue place, but I think they're too far away. So I'm probably going to text a few guys in. We went to go see the new Jumanji movie, and I was thinking about – I haven't seen the new Star Wars, which is crazy. So I'm going to text a few guys and see if they want to go see that.
Okay.
So that's what I'm telling you. This camaraderie, you guys all talked about rooting for each other at multiple levels last year during the season. I mean, this is good. I mean, this is
an organizational – I don't think this was going on a few years ago.
Promise you.
Yeah, it's changed. I really like what you guys are doing. I mean, does going to movies win games in April or May? I'm not sure, but I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I think when you hang out outside the you know the baseball field and you go out to eat and you talk and you get away from the game, you get to really know your teammates. So when you come to the field, when you're stretching before the game, I mean, you're with each other so many days that when you get away from the game and talk, you come to the field excited to, you know, be around your brothers and hang out. And I think a lot of people don't understand that, and it wins games. Somebody who taught me that was Aaron Rowan. I think he's one of the best. He's a big part of getting everybody together. Anytime he comes into town, he, you know, gets everybody. We go out to eat, and, you know, I've kind of followed in that way of, you know, doing that with myself. I try to get people together. I try to, you know, go out to eat, do things, because it does translate over. And, you know, when your buddy that you hung out with last night, whether you went to the movies or dinner, when he's up to bat, it feels like you're up to bat. And I think it carries over, and I think everybody in the locker room has that here. You know, everybody wants, as soon as we're done, even though it's a long day, they still want to go do something, which is special in my book.
I just know from White Sox perspective, when you mention – you're taking things from Aaron Rowan. People have that makes people feel good here because you know what Aaron Rowan did with the White Sox back then in 05, and that still you people light up when you hear Aaron Rowan. So that's I think you're taking the message from the right guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Sox Fest is next week, and we are giving away a pair of passes for all 3 days to Sox Fest. So what we thought we'd have you do, Nikki, is give us a trivia question about your career, something that's happened in your career. And if you're listening, well, you are listening to this, and you want to, and you know the answer, you have to tweet us the answer using the hashtag AuthenticFan. Authentic is AUTHENTIC, fan, just in case you can't spell authentic.
Well, the F-A-N, I'll take care of the fan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. One word, authentic fan. Okay, so Nikki, do you have a trivia question that you can share with the listeners?
I do, and it's something that I was talking about earlier in the conversation. My trivia question is, who did I hit my first home run off of in the big leagues?
Awesome.
Should we even give a hint, or
no,
is it necessary?
No, okay, man. People, I mean, we live in the era of Google.
It
is pretty easy. You could have had probably a tougher one, but
yeah. So we should make sure, like, you know, like, these people are going to get the Nikki Delmonico question correctly and win a pair of passes for the weekend. Let's make sure that Nikki can maybe put a face to the name type situation. So when you sign their whatever.
Well, I'll say this about it, Nikki. When you hit it off of this guy, now, if you hit any major league home run, that's a big thing, but this was a bona fide, is a bona fide starter in the major leagues. I mean, when you hit it, what was your reaction? Like, yeah, you know what? I belong here.
I knew it
and I belong here, because this is not, you know, Joe Schmo, number five starter. This was a real good pitcher in the majors.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know who you're going against, but, you know, you can't, he's a human being, you know, I'm not going to take anything away from him. He's, you know, obviously a standout pitcher in the big leagues. But, you know, when you're stepping in the box at that point, you don't want to give the guy any credit. You know, as much as he's done, the last thing I want to do is think this guy's better than me, or this guy's great, this guy's great. Well, then how am I supposed to hit him? You know, sure enough, after the game, then, yeah. You know, I think my brother was, do you know who you hit it off of? All this is nuts, you know. Then after that, but, it was definitely special. And to say it was off him, it's, you know, very humbling to me to say that, you know, I don't want to say his name, but yeah.
Talked around it so well.
Good job. All right, so again, if you know the answer, tweet us. Just use the hashtag. That's all we have to do. Authentic fan, and we will pick one winner to take home two passes to Sox Fest. And you're going to be there, right, Nikki?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Awesome.
Looking forward to it. And hey, thanks for your time. We really appreciate it, and we'll see you next weekend at Sox Fest.
Awesome. I can't wait. Thank you, guys.
All right. White Sox Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at www.wintrust.com/Sox, and we'll see you next time.